education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us, and we're going to continue going through Brainwashed America, the audio track, and commenting along the way, and then opening up the phone lines for your comments as well. There's a lot in the news, of course. Putin is threatening the West with nuclear strikes. He is threatening Ukraine. There's a lot going on, isn't there? The economy is on everybody's mind, the stock market. We're having a surge at the border like we've never seen. We're seeing interest rates just absolutely outrageous in Argentina, massive inflation. Of course, those kind of economic collapses just shove more people toward our borders. We've got in Argentina, we have China with a military base in Argentina. Venezuela, we have Iran buying up 2.5 million acres. Iran is in Venezuela for what many believe is not for just growing food and different things, but is for military training and exercises. Of course, it also puts them within striking distance of us. That would be their main reason, I believe. So there's so many things. Someone asked me today, a family friend of many, many, many years, asked me, can you tell me what my family should be preparing for? I said, that's a convergence of things. That's many, many things that are converging at one time like we have never seen before. And now we see, of course, stronger relationships being built between Russia, China, and now Turkey coming in. So many things going on in our country. And then yet at the same time, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, you know, the Gospels mention these signs, right? Here in Tennessee, we have Vanderbilt University over in Nashville bragging about how much money they can make from transgendered surgeries. We are just absolutely in meltdown. I don't know how people who aren't Christians make it. I don't know how people who aren't Christians understand what's happening. And again, I guess a lot of people are probably shocked, not this audience, but people outside this audience are probably shocked that we can come on the air every day, 4 hours a day, and yet we still have joy. We still have a peace. We're not anxious. Concerned? Oh, yeah. You'd be pious and selfish if you weren't. Concerned for many things and many people and many reasons. But I just don't know where we would be without understanding this from the Christian worldview perspective and the prophetic perspective. So we've been covering a lot of those things. You'll find a lot of those TV shows from the last 24 to 48 hours archived at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Hours and hours and hours of radio each and every week archived there for you to watch free of charge as a ministry of Worldview Weekend, Worldview Weekend Foundation. It's, again, hard to keep up with all that's happening, and we try to choose the stories that are the most pressing, and we're doing the very best we can to keep up. Well, without delay, let's go back to our audio track of Brainwashed America, getting so many wonderful responses from people. Rob Linstead last night on the show talking about watching all 3 hours and what he learned from it. So we're thankful that many are being educated by it, equipped, and passing it on to family and friends. The whole thing, nearly 3 hours of part two, is available at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. All right, let's pick it up, and I'll stop and comment along the way. And, of course, I look forward to opening the phone lines for your response as well. Here we go.
It has now come out that one national school board organization even wanted to work with the Biden regime to use the National Guard and military police against these citizens. Doesn't that tell you what the ultimate goal of the Marxist and globalist involves? The use of our own military against the American people. Lawful American people. The American people who want to defend freedom and liberty. One way to remove leaders from society that hold to constitutional beliefs, absolute truth, and conservative and Christian values is to simply label them extremist, potential terrorist, or domestic terrorist. Such characterization and marginalization could easily intimidate many to no longer express conservative, constitutional and Christian ideals, and thus to cease to lead.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. They tried everything last time to nullify the votes of 81 million people. This time, they're determined to succeed in thwarting the will of the people. That's why respected conservatives like Federal Circuit Court Judge Michael Ludwig has called Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans, quote, a clear and present danger to our democracy. We must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy.
In 2009, the Department of Homeland Security during the Obama administration listed as right-wing extremists and even potential terrorists those that believe in end times Bible prophecies, stockpiling food, ammunition, or weapons, Americans that were concerned about immigration policies that could undermine their very jobs and wages. Americans were potential extremists if they held to these beliefs, according to a Department of Homeland Security report. If you are concerned about infringement of your Second Amendment rights, according to the DHS report, you might be an extremist. If you're concerned about a financial collapse in America, you might be an extremist. According to the DHS report, if you are a veteran of our armed forces, you might be an extremist or potential terrorist. Remember, this report was written in 2009. By January 6, 2021, attending a political rally to hear President Trump speak in front of the White House got some people labeled a domestic terrorist and a visit from the FBI. What America needs is for more whistleblowers within our federal government to come forward and expose the corruption and illegal actions of federal agencies that have been co-opted by the cultural Marxists and their useful idiots. In 2020, an FBI whistleblower contacted my friend Terry Turchi. Remember, Terry is the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI. This whistleblower was an FBI asset and had photographic and video footage of crimes being committed in their community by proponents of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Muslim Brotherhood, and various revolutionaries. The asset declared in a broadcast with Terry and myself that the FBI and federal prosecutors were not interested in bringing these insurrectionists to justice, but were committed to covering up their crimes. The asset reported that they were instructed by the FBI to destroy all the footage and pictures of these crimes. But it gets much worse. The asset was then instructed to infiltrate patriot groups and document the existence of proponents of white supremacy or domestic terrorists within these patriotic groups. The asset informed their FBI handlers that white supremacists were not within the ranks of these patriotic groups. And in fact, the groups consisted of whites, blacks, and Hispanic Americans. The asset further informed us that this false narrative was being orchestrated by the FBI before the January 6, 2021 events at the U.S. Capitol. Apparently, the FBI was working long before January 6 to classify patriotic Americans as domestic terrorists. Watch this clip in which Terry and I interview this FBI asset.
My involvement with the FBI was initiated when I came into possession of information, videos, and photographs of violent activists, looters, and arsonists affiliated with local democratic socialists. BLM, Antifa, and CPUSA. By agreement with the FBI, after a period of initial introduction, was to pursue information on these bad actors via social media access and attending local events to secure surveillance for them. I set up accounts on various platforms. I was able to identify multiple individuals involved in violent activities, including arson, destruction of property, physical assault, potential terrorism, weapons violations, potential money laundering, and fundraising for organizations in Islamic countries. I was told these individuals were under FBI investigation as a result of my surveillance. After a period of time, I was asked to change the direction of my surveillance, and I was asked to focus on a specific number of potential white nationalists, defined as being members of a specific white nationalist anarchist organization. None of the individuals I surveilled were active in illegal activities that I could associate with them, unlike the BLM, Antifa, and CPUSA, basically activist communists. Now they wanted names of local militia group members and to include individuals with far-right political affiliations that may appear violent.
Were these militia groups the kind of militia groups you hear about when you think about Oklahoma City bombing and guys running through the woods in the weekends that are wanting to overthrow the government? Or were they real militia groups like that were like, anarchist type? Or was that term militia just being put on people that were patriots that want to maintain the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and such rights?
These are patriots. These are individuals that form militias within their own community to aid one another in caring for their community. They're not terrorists. They're not activists. They're not anarchists or anything like that. So up to this point, none of the groups identified as white supremacists by the FBI had presented as any threat anywhere in the state. There had been no crimes, there had been no activities, no action, no protests even. But my FBI contacts were receiving pressure from the top, as they put it, to produce names and activities.
Were any of these folks people of color? Were they Black Americans? Were they Hispanic? Were they, in other words, you think of white supremacists, and clearly they would not, they wouldn't let different people groups within their ranks. But my guess is, all right, we're going to hold right there. Isn't this fascinating, folks? Now, again, you have to understand this was all before January 6th. So the FBI was laying this false narrative before January 6th. And now this week, we have a whistleblower coming out saying the FBI is no longer interested in sex trafficking. Well, gee, I wonder why. Could it be because the FBI has actually been involved in this kind of thing, turning a blind eye to sex trafficking? Some of their people have been arrested for this. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Now, remember, the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend is coming up Starts Friday night, October 14th, 6 p.m. Central Time. Beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. I'll be there. Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Annie Cyrus, Leo Holman, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Peter McCullough. Let's see who else. Patrick Wood, Andy Woods, Karen Kingston, Terry Turchi. It's going to be a great lineup, folks. Don't miss out. WVWTVstore.com is where you can get your reservations made. Be sure if you're on a smart device looking that you click the little lines, like the three top lines there that are top right-hand corner for the menu button. You'll find general seating. You can also use our phone number if you prefer to place your ticket order over the phone, 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. No, we will not be live streaming it. A lot of people are asking us, will we be doing that? No, we will not be live streaming it. But we will be filming it, and it'll be available in our situation room for members in the future. Remember, you can watch the entire almost 3 hours of Brainwashed America Part 2 for free at WVWTV.com. WVWTV.com is there. I hope you share it, tweet, text, email, Facebook, Gitter, whatever it is you do to get out the word, but share it with friends. And we do have the order going in for the quantity of DVDs that we'll be selling at our cost in hopes that folks will get quantities and share them around. Again, preserving this document, this documentary, regardless of what happens with our government and the revolution that we're now in, so it can't be scrubbed. Thousands and thousands of DVDs out there will, they can't grab them all, can they? So we'll do that for many reasons. All right, let's go back. We're talking to the FBI asset, and I asked before the break, but weren't these groups made up of white Americans, black Americans, Hispanic Americans? And what do you mean when you say militia groups? Clearly, if they're white supremacist type groups, then they wouldn't let in black Americans or Hispanic Americans, right? But they did, because they weren't the militia white supremacist types of groups the FBI was wanting the public to believe. And you're actually going to hear the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, Terry Turchi, describe what most militia groups are really all about in America. Let's go back to the audio track.
They probably did have black conservatives and black Americans and Hispanic Americans within their groups, correct?
They certainly did. They just weren't getting the information on the white supremacists because they didn't exist. I mean, they weren't active in criminal or terrorist behaviors. So after the election, the FBI knew from information they were receiving that there was no retaliation after the election from the groups that they had labeled as white supremacists.
What is amazing about what we just heard from the asset is how consistent the story that the asset is telling us is with the findings we had during the 1990s. The 1990s were an age of extensive domestic terrorism in the United States. Think back to the Unabomber. Mm-hmm. Think back to Timothy McVeigh and the people who attacked the federal building in Oklahoma City. Think back to Eric Robert Rudolph and the bombings that he was involved in, including the 1996 Olympics. By 2000, when I became the deputy assistant director of the counterterrorism division, we had never had a study on these people and who we might be looking for. So we brought in a special agent, clinical psychologist, who had access to the Secret Service, had access to law enforcement officers across the country. And she concluded in the only study of its kind that still exists today, by the way, that we need to be very careful when we're involved in domestic terrorism cases, because more often than not, militia groups are social groups. They're people who want to do the right thing. Many times they tell these people when they notice the things we noticed about Rudolph and about someone like a Kaczynski, they ask them to leave their group. So what has changed? What has changed since the FBI's own study? What has changed since the 90s? What has changed is the FBI. The FBI, and I think we're going to talk about this at another time, but has undergone a fundamental transformation where it provides information about white supremacy, about white supremacist groups, because that is now the priority. And that's why attorneys in the Department of Justice don't want to hear about anything else. They are dead set, they're dead on trying to prosecute and give examples of what they're now saying exists. But it doesn't exist. It's a framing issue. And I use framing to say marketing. They want people to be thinking like this, that, President Biden was right. The Democratic Party is right. Black Lives Matter is right. The Weather Underground, if you believe all this, was right. White supremacy, white privilege, and white hate are the problems in America today. What is the real purpose of spreading that message? To divide and conquer and to infiltrate institutions. And that is a real problem that the FBI is now finding itself on that end of the investigation.
I have video of one particular arson event with individuals on video that have been identified during the event. And they've completely backed off of that investigation and said the prosecutors don't want to go after it. I was asked to suspend my evidence, is how I'll put it. I was told to walk away from it, from the evidence that I had. I was told to erase it and to get rid of it.
The evidence that would implicate groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Muslim Brotherhood, you were asked to get rid of that?
Yes. Not asked. I was told to get rid of it, erase it, get rid of it all.
Clearly, the goal is to intimidate and eliminate conservative, constitutional, and anti-communist leaders, if at all possible. One such example would be my friend Matt DiPerno. In 2021, I had an extensive conversation with Matt, who was having his law license and professional insurance as well as his banking threatened. Why? Because he was investigating voter fraud and defending in court the concept of free and fair elections. Do you think you cannot lose your professional license? We'll cover this later in our docu-movie more extensively. But let me tell you, I actually predicted such scenarios in my book, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk, that was published in 1995. And I can document such scenarios that are becoming reality today. The second step of 12 in the process of brainwashing a population is to entice the brainwashing subjects into questioning and doubting their foundational worldview, values, and convictions. One of the main goals of this step is to so demoralize the subjects that they become passive and apathetic.
Now, the results of the program combined, please remember, with the first 6 months, which was not part of a communist program, but made in the U.S. The results of this were phenomenal. To begin with, more men died in captivity than have ever died before in military captivity in any war in which America has engaged. 4 out of 10 men died. And one of the main reasons was passivity among the soldiers.
William E. Mayer explains that the POWs in the North Korean POW camps became so passive, in part, because they were afraid of making the communist angry.
But the passivity that I mentioned reflected itself in the camps in an unwillingness to do any act of resistance for fear it would create animosity, that it would get the Chinese mad. And of course, indeed it would. Just like when the soldier puts his head over the edge of the foxhole and fires at the Chinese soldier, he gets him mad. And he's liable to shoot back. And this becomes necessary, physically and socially. It becomes necessary if we are to preserve what we think we have, if we are to stay away from our barbarians, if we're to preserve this kind of social and political order. If you don't want to preserve it, that's something quite different. But men must be called upon to be able and willing to defend it in significant ways with thoughts and, if necessary, with weapons. We need weapons.
How many Americans today do not want to make the cultural Marxist, the politically correct, the bureaucrats, the tyrants ruling over us, angry? How many Americans are passive because they want to avoid conflict, controversy, pressure, or because they simply do not have the will to fight back and resist? How many Americans today understand the meaning and purpose of the Second Amendment and why weapons are necessary to defend against tyrants? Why do the globalists and Marxists within America and around the world want to disarm the American people and take our weapons? The answer? When there is no resistance, there is no hope. And when there is no hope, the people give up and surrender. Today in America, I see very little resistance, even though freedom-loving Americans outnumber those enslaving us. Sadly, few Americans understand what true freedom really looks like, and thus, they don't even realize we are being enslaved in greater and greater increments. It has been said that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Will America die because Americans have chosen to become apathetic and passive? Will Americans surrender to the communist revolution now underway in 2022? Or will we resist?
This was typical of many of the American POW camps in North Korea. No barbed wire, no watchtowers, none of the precautionary measures normally taken to prevent escape. Nothing but the cluster of mud huts that make up a Korean village to provide a miserable shelter for several hundred Americans, with seldom more than a few Chinese soldiers to guard them. Most attempts to organize, to establish normal leadership, were rejected.
Hey, you guys, wake up. I got a way figured that some of us can make a break and get out of here.
Escape?
Yeah, but we gotta get organized first.
Are you nuts?
I told you, I got it figured.
Well, figure some more. You wanna spoil things for us? You wanna get the Chinese mad at us?
In Korea, we saw a lack of resistance. We found that in 10 of the 12 camps, there were no barbed wire fences around the camps, no machine gun towers, no electric barricades, no guard dogs, and as few as one armed guard per 100 American prisoners. No resistance. Worse than that, during the first 6 months, we found, and we had four physicians who were themselves prisoners and who examined hundreds of these cases, we found that a new disease had occurred, a disease explicitly of passivity. This was a disease of that most popular of all the targets of the psychiatrist, the mother's boy, the unresolved Oedipal complex, or whatever you want to call it. Nonetheless, the passive kid, he would walk into his hut in North Korea, look despairingly about him, decide there was no use trying to participate in his survival, would go off into a corner by himself, pull his blanket over his head, and in 48 hours was dead.
Give up-itis, they called it, when the weakest simply turned their faces to the wall, covered their heads, and within 48 hours were dead.
Wow. That's the real threat, folks, of being passive and apathetic. Passive and apathetic. Our government never seen this before. This is where, well, we had the creation of the military code of conduct. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. I hope you guys will invite some folks over, maybe have some pie and coffee, show this to them, at least email it to them, text it to them. It's at WVWTV.com. Are you learning a lot? I look forward to opening the phone lines up for your thoughts here in just a few minutes. You did notice, by the way, that that was the voice of Ronald Reagan talking about the give-up-itis and the guys in the Korean War pulling the blanket up over their head and being dead within 48 hours. Apathy and passivity. They believed the lie. They lost all hope. And we've talked about the ways to have hope. Resistance. Leaders. Organization. No leaders. No organization. No organization. No resistance. No resistance. No hope. No hope. You surrender. And in some cases, you die. Well, that was the voice of Ronald Reagan from a documentary in 1962. Black and white documentary, 1962. The Ultimate Weapon, based on the work of Dr. William E. Mayer. A lot of historical footage in this documentary. I'm actually about to show you, if we get time today, you'll hear and see, for those that watch the documentary, you'll see and hear Jack Webb. Remember Jack Webb from Dragnet? Old black and white movie. Produced by the Department of Defense, warning about the communists taking over America and that it can happen if the American people become passive and apathetic and irresponsible. Our Department of Defense used to warn the American people about communism. Now they're run by communists, or at least useful idiots of the communists that want to promote, as you've heard in this documentary, Mark Milley saying, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I want to understand white rage. I want to teach critical race theory, communism, to the troops. The FBI used to warn about communism. Now, they're run by communists. And what's really sad is we're getting reports today that the Air Force Academy promotes fellowship that bans cisgender men. This program isn't for you. Eligible applicants must be cisgender women, transgender women, non-binary agender, bigender, two-spirit, deminger, demigender, I don't even know what that is, gender fluid, or gender queer. This is the U.S. Air Force. Now, you tell me the enemies haven't penetrated every area, every institution in America. Because only your enemies would do this, right? Foreign and domestic. Only your enemies would take your military and do this, right? And this is what Fox News is reporting today. Only your enemies would do this, both foreign and domestic. And here we have Putin threatening nuclear war, and we've filled our military up with a bunch of, quote, queers, end quote. That's their word, folks, not mine. They want to use that word. Transgenders. This is what we've filled our military up with. And we've kicked out the men who are the real leaders. Because the military, folks, is not going to be about fighting communism. The American military will eventually be turned against the American people. That's the only reason you would do what you're doing now. It's the only reason you'd clean out people who are patriots. Unless you have every intention of turning the U.S. military against the American people. And if that's not the case, and I'm wrong, then why are they doing this? Well, the only other reason left would be simply so there is no military, so the communists, the Chinese, the Russians can walk right in, and there's nothing we can do about it. We're also getting reports today that Venezuela is emptying all their prisons. Venezuela is emptying a lot of their prisons, maybe not all, but a lot of their prisons, and they're pushing these criminals to the U.S. border. Now, again, who is in Venezuela? Iran. They just bought 2.5 million acres. Maybe it's China. I'll have to go back and check. But one, it was either China or Russia has loaned a bunch of money to Venezuela. We know that, as we said, there's strong relationships between Argentina and China. Now Venezuela and Iran. And so Venezuela is opening their prisons, shoving their criminals toward our border. All, again, is the goal. Distraction. Chaos. Chaos and distraction. Chaos and distraction. We are going to be so caught off guard as we fight massive inflation rolling into hyperinflation. We're fighting crime. We're fighting a breakdown of our institutions, societal unrest, not enough police. Russia and China, Iran are getting us ready. What are they getting us ready for? Well, as we've heard, the first thing they must do is remove the leaders, the anti-communist leaders. Let's go back to the audio track before we open the phone lines.
If only the boy's family and school and church had helped him grasp and develop the idea of personal responsibility and obligation, had weaned him away from the belief that individual effort was painful and useless. If only he had been taught that he has the ability, even alone, to meet and solve serious problems, then this cold, terrible reality would not have destroyed him.
You could stop these deaths by picking up these fellows, hitting them, spitting on them, slapping them. If you could just get them angry, they survived. If you couldn't, they didn't. The soldiers called this give-up-itis. The doctors couldn't diagnose it. We have never before seen it among adults. Oh, it was seen among some elderly Jewish people who were awaiting gas chambers. Very few, but some. It's seen among newborns that are pulled out of garbage cans in Oakland and San Francisco and New York, and we still find them in garbage cans. And such babies abandoned at birth sometimes will not participate in their survival. And we have a diagnosis for this. It's called marasmus. They just won't live, even though there is no medical justification for their death. Never before have we seen this among Americans who were adults. And these men were 19 to 24 years of age. It was not seen in anybody older than that, by the way. A lack of resistance, a passivity. Now, this kind of disease accounted for the death of about half the men who died in captivity. And the death rate was 38%, higher than Andersonville, higher than the Revolutionary War, higher than the Japanese camps at Cabanatuan and Santo Tomas, the highest death rate in our military history. And half these people died to a considerable degree by their own volition. This is astounding. This bears thought by everybody, not just doctors.
Passivity is what the communists desire. And just as William E. Mayer explains, passivity is what caused many of the American POWs of the Korean War to lose their lives. Will passivity and apathy be what causes Americans to lose their freedom and eventually their lives or the lives they have known? The American POWs of the Korean War were not properly taught how to respond if captured by the communists. The military failed to properly prepare the soldier for the shock of being a POW. They failed to teach them how to resist, why they must resist, and how their behavior would be directly equated with the chances of their survival and that of their fellow soldier. So passive did many of the POWs of the Korean War become that they would not organize among themselves and establish even a latrine for their own protection against becoming sick. Notice in this next clip that Dr. William E. Mayer explains how for the first 6 months of their captivity, before there were formal classes of indoctrination, the communist Chinese allowed the men to sink to an incredibly low state. So low was their despair and living conditions that the death rate was astronomical. Apparently, the communist Chinese would allow this to happen so that they could then come into the camp, establish proper sanitation, and better living conditions. In other words, the Chinese would allow the men to reach a point of great demise before they would rush in and save the POWs from themselves. Once this occurred, then the formal classroom instruction and brainwashing would begin. This is further evidence of step 12 of the 12-step process of brainwashing that we'll look at later. But for now, I want you to understand, step 12 is this: create an atmosphere and environment of chaos, suffering, hopelessness, and danger, and then rescue the subjects from this condition so that the persecutor is perceived as being a friend, protector, and savior. We'll cover this, as I said, later in this series. Listen to what William E. Mayer had to say about this.
Now, the education didn't actually start until the soldiers had been captured more than 6 months. And it was the first 6 months that really distressed us the most. because that 6 months of captivity containing most of the prisoners was in all respects similar, almost exactly similar, to the conditions of captivity of Americans during World War II in the hands of the Germans and the Japanese, with the exception of the fact that there was no overt brutality to speak of. There were isolated instances involving less than 5%, but there was no policy of brutality. There wasn't any of the pompous lording it over the degraded prisoners like there was in Japanese camps. There was none of the starvation of the German camps. Actually, they were treated slightly better, as far as we can determine, than any group of American prisoners ever held in military captivity by any enemy. And this includes the way the Northerners were treated by the South and the Southerners by the North in the Civil War. In any event, that first 6 months, during which, based on experience factors, there should have been very effective internal organization in the camps, emergent leaders who took command, directed the activities in the direction of taking care of the sick, in the direction of providing for sanitation, in the direction of harassing the enemy, setting up escape channels and escape procedures. None of this took place. And this is the first time in our history this has ever happened, and we cannot blame it on the communists. The failure to do this was very largely made in the USA, made by us, either by default or by activities. But it was our phenomenon. I am not here to defend the Chinese, but again, I think we have to face what seems to be reality.
Why is the destruction of absolute truth so vital to the accomplishment of the goals of the socialist, the Marxist, or the globalist? Because a moral and caring leader that seeks to warn, protect, preserve, and advance a people to liberty and freedom must appeal to the universal morals upon which liberty is built, the absolute God-given rights of the individual. It is from absolute truth and the laws of nature and nature's God that the idea of individual rights and individual responsibilities, as ordained by God, spring forth. When leaders stand up and call upon their fellow man to collectively defend individual rights and live out individual responsibilities, they do so in direct opposition of the socialist, Marxist, or globalist that believe not in individual rights, not in individual responsibility, but in the socialist concept of the rights of the group over the rights of the individual. Moral leadership and moral character has no cause and no effect aside from the God-ordained truth that each man must conduct himself in a manner consistent with the moral law etched upon his very conscience as a God-implanted compass by which to guide his values and actions. Only when a
Let's hold it right there. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Phone lines open. Phone lines open. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. Get on board. Again, the full DVD documentary at WVWTV.com. We'll be right back with your calls. Thanks for listening. right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Remind you to stay tuned for Crosstalk coming up top of the hour on 100 Outlets, hosted by Jim Schneider, America's original Christian talk program since the 1970s. So stay plugged in, and those on Frank's Beach, you should definitely get their app, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Let's go to Holly from Wisconsin, line one. Holly, thanks for calling in today, Holly.
Hey, Brandon, it's good to be on, and I really appreciate your program today and all that you do.
Thank you, Holly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, you had said there something to the effect of, you know, these people who are conducting the psychological warfare on these victims, you know, they act as the savior while they're persecuting them. And we know that that's how the enemy gets us to make agreements with him mm-hmm. and do the things that we do. And so while living in sin. And so this is all the more evidence that this is a very much a spiritual battle that we face that's been going on for eons.
I really
feel for the people who also grow up in communism, because I have somebody in our life right now who comes from Vietnam, and I see the way, I mean, she's a young girl and she's so sweet and well-meaning, but in her mind, America could never compare to Vietnam. Everything that they do there is better. You know, the food's more delicious. Everything's just so much better in her mind because she's not even willing to try and taste the freedom that America has to offer.
You know, Yuri Bezmenov predicted that, the former KGB officer and propaganda specialist, that at some point they get so brainwashed, you could take them to the gulags and show it to them, and they still wouldn't believe it. And that's, you're right. But you're absolutely 100% right. This is at a spiritual level. It is a spiritual war, no doubt about it. What's very interesting is that J. Edgar Hoover, in this documentary, you hear him say that. The FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, said in a speech that I played a small portion of in this documentary, said, ultimately, this is a spiritual battle. Isn't that interesting? Where is such leadership today in our FBI? Rick, line two. Thank you, Holly. Rick, line two. Thanks for calling in from Minnesota today, Rick.
Yeah, it's Greg.
It's Greg. All right. It says Rick here on the screen. Sorry about that, Greg.
From the People's Republic of Minnesota.
Well, be safe behind enemy lines there.
Yeah. you talk about brainwashing and resistance. There's a couple examples I can think of. It's like, you know, after the battle at the Alamo, it caused resistance. And people stood up. And during World War II, and I think it was the Battle of the Bulge, where I think around 200 American soldiers were killed, there were survivors, and it provided resistance. And sometimes, you know, you go through these things, it's like it should provide resistance to the brainwashing and everything else.
Mm. Wow. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Love hearing from you guys up there. Let's go to Margie from Lake Villa, Illinois. Margie, thanks for calling in, Margie.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about our future military with the trans people and the sex changes and all the drug addictions and the drug deaths, abortions, the vaccine mandates. What kind of men and women are we going to have left to be in our military?
We're not going to have. And the Chinese are counting on this. And you think about Fauci and all these people that are working with China and these labs and what they're funding and doing. And you have even progressives formally, like Naomi Wolf, saying that the White House has been captured by the CCP. The American people, by and large, have no idea what's happening, and that our government has been captured by communists, by enemies foreign and domestic. They are systematically destroying our military so that they don't have to go to kinetic war. They've openly told us that they were going to do this in 1999 in the communist document written by two Chinese communist colonels called Unrestricted Warfare. They don't want to go to kinetic war, meaning bombs. And everything we're seeing that they're doing will allow them to just walk right in, turn off our power grid, do whatever they need to do. They don't have to go to nuclear war. I'm not saying they won't, but my friend, the late Dr. Peter Price, said in my documentary from this very desk, they're going to go with the new way of warfare. Now, if that doesn't work, let the missiles fly. But you're absolutely right. So now what they're doing is preparing the ground, preparing to take all of these institutions, collapse them, and there'll be no resistance, no opposition. And now what they're doing is going around and arresting, charging, intimidating anyone that would be a leader and is a leader. And any of us that are all on a list. So you're absolutely right. What they're doing to the military tells you they are preparing to take over the country, our enemies, foreign and domestic, and they have to take out and clean out the military. But yet most people don't see it. Let's go to, thank you, Marjorie. Kurt from Fort Atkins. Kurt, thanks for calling in, Kurt.
Hello?
Hi, Kurt. Hi, Kurt. All right, let's go to Carolyn. Carolyn from Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for calling in.
Say it again.
Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
All right. Glad you're with us.
Pardon me?
Glad you're with us.
Well, I thank you. First of all, I want to thank you so much. I'm very supportive of you, and I wanted to talk about the topic of how Americans just do not care. And as a person, I care every day. I stay well informed, and I have for years. I know what's going on in the world, what's going on here, and I do something every day to see if I can fight this.
Amen.
And I don't think, with all the friends that I have of like mind, we all care. We talk about it, what we can do, and we do things. I do something almost every day.
Mm.
And everything you say, and that's why I appreciate it, and is we believe, those of us that are aware. And I think, and I'd like to say, I think there's more people aware than you think.
You know, let me just say, Carolyn, you're probably right, but here's what my music's about to play here. But I wonder how many of them haven't gotten the courage to speak up yet. They know what we're saying's right, but they don't have the courage to speak up yet. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree, but I think there's another aspect to it, is that most Americans are working, raising their kids. They're busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's the way I was when I was raising young kids and whatever. I have taught both of my children who are grown up.
Let me comment for a run out of time. I think you're 100% right. And the more we move into massive inflation and the priority becomes putting food on the table, that's going to distract more. Thank you, Carolyn. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.